One of the passages that always amazes me when you look in the book of Ephesians, I mean, there was a time past when we talked about here the positional truths of who we are in Christ Jesus. It's amazing what all that Jesus Christ has done for us and the place he's placed us in Christ Jesus. But in the book of Ephesians, it says, talking about the riches of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of his inheritance in the saints. You know, when I think about the saints, I think, well, that sounds like God's getting pretty gypped as far as the inheritance. But God sees something we don't see yet. But the way he's going to change these common everyday folk like ourselves and fashion them after his own son, he says there's going to be a wealth there when everybody is redeemed and with him, right? That's an inheritance that's outstanding, and we just can't see it yet, but the Holy Spirit has revealed it to it. Well, there's an interesting program on TV called Undercover Boss. Everybody watch that Undercover Boss at any time. Basically, the program is about a boss of a corporation who takes on a different identity, and he goes as a common everyday employer and works for that company of which he's the owner of. And the people, it's such a large company, they don't even know, they don't recognize him. And he spends times in, you know, as having no authority, no experience in different jobs in the company. And sometimes in his undercover work there, he finds out people that are shirking their responsibilities. He finds others, though, that are just loyal to the company, to the hilt, and yet are struggling financially. It's really kind of an encouraging program. But you know, you think about the Lord Jesus when he came here. Didn't he kind of come as an undercover boss? Because he came with no royal robes, no crown on his head. He looked like any other man, a common everyday Jew, without the formal training accolades of doctoral degrees behind him, coming from a city of 500 people up in Nazareth, and it didn't have a very good reputation at that. But Jesus was the undercover master, was he not? And sometimes it just astounds us, and how the angels, of course, watching this, like they would, we would watch Undercover Boss, the angels are watching us, and then they see man scorning their master. He is the CEO. And they can't believe the shame and the reproach they're heaping on this one who is God come in the flesh. Wow, what an amazing story. Well, we've been looking at that in the book of Mark. And we're right now in the time when Jesus Christ was very popular. He had several campaigns, and we're finishing up now the Galilean campaign. He's going to go down now, spend the last year down in Jerusalem and Judea. But he was so popular at this point in his ministry that people would crush upon him. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And you say, why? Was it his message? Well, he spoke and he taught quite a bit. But he was unlike anybody else. They've never seen anybody to speak with the authority that he spoke with. They never saw anybody who would be able to cast out demons with his word. Wow. It must have been awesome to see. And then anybody who was sick, they came to him, and everybody, regardless of the deformity, regardless of the incurable disease, Jesus healed it all. And so the crowds just pressed on him to want to touch him. Now, recently we saw that Mark has a parenthesis and a parenthesis in that story of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, whose daughter, 12-year-old girl, was lay sick and dying. And he wanted Jesus to come. And so we believe it was over Capernaum side. Jairus was not a Pharisee, but he was in the religious crowd, and he had authority in the synagogue, but he had seen Jesus probably in that synagogue perform miracles. Forget what else Judaism have. I want to go to somebody who can help my daughter. And he went to get Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll go with you. And on the way, remember what happened, the parentheses, the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years, the daughter was 12 years old, saw all the similarities in that situation. But after he spent time with this woman who had this issue of blood, she just wanted to touch him in the crowd. Messenger came back from Jairus' house and said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the master anymore? Jesus said, keep on believing. keep on believing. We saw that he actually raised her from the dead. Huh. Do you know of any other person ever in history? Well, we know of Elisha, some of the prophets who served the same God. But I tell you, I want to put my trust and hope in the one who can raise the dead. That's the one I want to hope in, right? He raised the dead. And then, after that, the next story we got in the book of Mark, which we looked last week, he went to his hometown Nazareth. Remember that? Did those large crowds follow him? No. In his hometown, in his own family, he was shown disregard. He was shown disrespect. They didn't believe on him. And it said there he could only heal a few sickly type people. Well, it's not that he had any lack of power, but listen, God operates on the basis of faith, right? He does not reward unbelief. He does not reward that doubt. He rewards those who trust in him and believe he can perform miracles. What a great lesson it is for us. When we go to prayer, let's not pray like weaklings. Let's pray believing in him that he can and will perform what we ask him to do. He's not limited by any distance, is he? God, Jesus Christ, is the same today, yesterday, all the time. Well, we ended up last time in Mark chapter 6 by Jesus. After he was in Nazareth, it says in verse 6 here, look at, and he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit, preaching and teaching. Well, he just went in a circle around Nazareth now, okay? Now, there's a change that happens in his ministry right now. Because up until this point, the only one who has been healing, the only one who has been teaching, the only one who has been casting out demons is Jesus. It's the only one. And we already know what happened, that he's been speaking in parables already because of the opposition to him, so that those who didn't believe on him, they wouldn't understand what he was saying. But those who wanted to know the truth, he revealed that truth, and they understood even through parables. But the religious leaders, they had made plans to kill him. And their propaganda to all the people was, he's doing the miracles that they couldn't deny his miracles. How can you deny a miracle who's got a crippled hand and all of a sudden it's made straight? Right? You can't deny that. You saw it with your own eyes. They couldn't deny it. So what they did to explain it away is they said he's doing it by the prince of demons, devils. He's doing it by Beelzebub, by Satan's power, by Satan's own power. They preached that propaganda enough that the Jewish people as a nation actually believed it. Isn't that unbelievable? And what he found out in Nazareth was a microcosm what was going to happen in the rest of the world, the rest of the nation, I should say, of Israel. Israel as a nation is going to reject the Lord of the universe. What did he do wrong? He healed the people. He cast out the demons. He even raised the dead, and he preached and had compassion. And what did they decide as a result of these things that he was doing? They put him to death on the cross. They wanted Barabbas instead, right? That's who they wanted, the one who plundered, the one who was a thief and a murderer, Barabbas. Wow. But now things are changing because as he's going now, he's getting to be the last part in his ministry. We're only in chapter 6. You will find if you get a harmony of the Gospels, of the Gospel sections, at least half of it concerns the last week of Jesus Christ. The whole of the Gospels, a half of it, concerns that last week. But now he's going to the final year in his ministry. He's going to head down to Jerusalem, but he's still in this Galilean ministry, and now he's sending forth his apostles. And they're going to start preaching. They're going to start healing. They're going to start casting out demons. So let's read it now from verse 7. And once again, Mark has a parenthesis here. There's a story that happens about John the Baptist in the midst of what's taking place here. But I'm going to bypass the story of John the Baptist. We'll look at that next week. But let's begin reading in verse 7 of chapter 6. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power. The word is authority. Authority over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. And he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. There's two other parallel passages to this one in the book of Luke and the book of Matthew, and it says that he even gave him power to raise the dead. Okay, go by past the parentheses now to go back down to verse 30. In verse 30 it said, then the apostles gathered, this is after the trip, they gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. That's where we'll end for today. Let's look to the Lord one more time for prayer and ask Him and the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to His truths from His Word. Our Heavenly Father, now we thank You for Your Word. Even as You have changed our heart, Father, so that we love Your Word. And we love this person that You've revealed to us in the person of Christ Jesus. We love Him, and we want to serve Him. And we thank You that even You've granted us the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and to open our minds to Your truths. And right now, Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us individually and point out areas in our lives that we need to change. And as a church, Father, that we need to do differently. And Lord, lift up Your Son, help us to glorify Him this morning, and help me, I pray personally, Lord, that You'd help me not to say things that I shouldn't say, but just to say things that would lift Him up. For it's in His glory we pray it. Amen. You know, the first thing we want to look at, and if you've got in your bulletin, there's no PowerPoint today, but if you've got in your bulletin, you've got the outline there, I want to do things a little bit differently this morning. I've got the outline there. But I want to give you some points of application, and if you would, just write these down. You don't need to write anything else down, but I want you to write down these points of application that pertain to you and I, okay? First of all, Jesus Christ had a plan. God's got a plan, and Jesus had a plan here when He was on this earth. So far, as I mentioned, He's the only one that's been healing, teaching. And the crowds are just pressing upon Him. But Jesus Christ has to expand this ministry. Do you remember in the Old Testament how Moses had all those people that were coming to Him and He was wearing out? Well, Jesus wasn't wearing out. But if the gospel was to go to the ends of the earth, He had to train those men which He'd already picked. We looked at their names in another portion of Scripture. 12 men whom He picked to be His apostles. And now He's going to grant them authority and power to do what He's been doing. Already they've seen Him. Over and over and over again, they've heard His messages that He's preached. He's used the same illustrations many times. They know His illustrations. He was the master teacher. They heard John the Baptist preach repentance. They heard John the Baptist, for the most part, preach the kingdom of God. And now they heard Jesus preach the kingdom of God and preach repentance. When they would go out, they would preach the same message. They heard it. He had a plan for them. They were called apostles. Okay, but you know what? I just want to say in before we begin that there's no longer 12 apostles. They're gone. Apostle Paul was included in that, and the epistle said, there are not any apostles anymore. An apostle had to have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians said that the church is laid on the foundation of the apostles. There were 12 of them. These ordinary men, these carpenters, not the carpenters, these fishermen, they didn't have any degrees. They were not recognized. 11 of them came from Galilee, one from Judea, and that was Judas. But here's the ones that he picked. And in so doing, he condemned the Jewish nation. But part of the thing in his plan was that he was going to spend time with them. They were going to spend time with him, and he was going to send them out to preach and to heal and to do the things that he was doing. But before we go on and look at that, I would just want to mention in passing that the Bible says that God has a plan for you and I too. Isn't that wonderful? Remember what Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says? And you can probably quote it by heart. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? And then in verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. Greek word poema. We are his poem. Isn't that good? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Isn't that cool? You know, when I was a little guy, and I remember my dad would go before me in the snow. You know, my dad had a size 12, and then when he wore the size boot, I mean, it left a, he thought the abominable snowman was going through the snow, right? And I, as a little kid, I'd try to stay right in his footsteps in the snow, you know, kind of jump there and jump there to go in those footsteps. Well, God has got some footsteps that he wants us to walk in. He's got a plan for us. And so we need to discover that plan. We've all got individual, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, we've got individual gifts and abilities. And he, before ordained, he's got these footsteps that he wants us. He's got a plan for us. Well, look at what it's in the first verse here, in verse 6. First, he went about teaching, and he was showing them again. That's the first thing. Jesus showed his disciples, and they just were observers. All this time, all they were doing is observing. And a point of application, I want you to write this down, because this is before this missionary trip now. They're going on the first short-term missionary trip right now. And later it's going to be permanent, but right now, this is the time the missionary journey is going to begin. They're going out by two. We'll see it. But before all this happened, the prerequisites that they had to spend time with Jesus. And if we're to follow God's plan for our life, we've got to spend time with Jesus. You can't accomplish anything if you don't watch him in action. And part of what you're doing today is you're spending time and watching how he does things, even this morning. And so praise the Lord that you've come out this morning and to listen to God's word. But even during your daily walk, I'm hoping you're spending time and just observing him, spending time alone with him. If you do that, you know what? He's liable to make you a missionary. Right? He's liable to set you up with an organization like Institute of Basic Life Principles, right? Or some other organization so that you can serve with your gifts and abilities, but you can spend time with him. That's the first thing. It's important for our application to spend time with Jesus. And then it says here, he summoned them. He called them to himself. He already chose out those 12. We looked at that before. But in his selecting them, he was more or less judging Israel. Listen, there are 12 tribes of Israel, and there was not one religious leader that was selected to be over those tribes. But in the Gospels, later on, he says to these 12 men, he said, I've called you, and you are going to sit one day judging the 12 tribes of Israel, these common, ordinary men. So he summoned them, he called them to himself. They've watched him in the popularity. They watched him rejected. And the book of Matthew really expands on the teachings that he gave them when they came to him. This is what I want you to do. But he calls them to himself. And the next point I want you to write down in our plan with what we want, first of all, how important it is to spend time with Jesus. And then secondly, how important it is to listen for his call. How important it is to listen for his call. You know, I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus Christ speaks individually to me. And I hope that you believe that he, through the Holy Spirit, speaks individually to you. You know, I've got some amazing things in my life that that happened. You know, you could go over these stories. I remember one time my brother and I, my garage door went on the blinks. I don't know if I told you the story. And so I had to get a part for it. I couldn't find the part around where I was, and I found out down in, I think it was in Birmingham or someplace down in the Detroit area we were living at the time. And I was going down there, and I find out the man who was the charge of this company called Delete Door. Well, I should have almost figured out I had Hebrew. It's a word for Hebrew word for door, okay? And I went down and I found out the man who was the owner of the company was from Israel. He was born in Israel and he was now living in the United States. And so my brother Dick was with the church at that time. My brother Dick is the one that I told you has translated the entire Hebrew Bible into English. He knows his Hebrew. And I said, Dick, come on down with me. Let's meet this guy. So we went down and had a good fellowship with him. And we just are sharing with him. We didn't have a chance to share too much that day, but he knew that we really appreciated him. Okay, I got my part and fixed the door. Well, I moved away. I came back to the area of Michigan again, though, after a church experience up in Minnesota. My brother Dick was now in northern Wisconsin. And I was visiting a lady in the church who was in a nursing home. And she was a vibrant believer, a great witness for Christ. And she said, I want you to read this book. It's called Zvi. Anybody read that magazine, Friends of Israel? Yeah. Zvi is the witness in that book. He has another name, but he goes by Zvi. That's what his first name. This man's got a testimony. He tells a story. He went through the Holocaust, went to Israel, and he's witnessing everywhere in Israel. Okay. She says, you got to read the book Zvi. And then after that, there was the next part two of Zvi. But anyway, she said, read Zvi. Forgot all about it. I came back and visited her a couple months later. And she says to me, did you read the book Zvi? I said, oh, I'm sorry, Phyllis. I will go home and I'll read it. So I was going home. Now here it is, Saturday afternoon. Can the Lord speak to you individually? I'm reading the book Zvi because Phyllis had already reprimanded me from not reading the book Zvi. I'm sitting there reading the book Zvi. My brother from Wisconsin calls me and he says, Bob, I was just going through my door and did you ever find out what happened to that heat guy, that Jewish believer, that heat guy from Israel, the one from Delit Door? And I said, oh, I forgot all about it, Dick. And he said, well, why don't you look him up? Look him up. Well, I'm reading Zvi, okay? And I said, well, Dick, what's his name? And he says, his name is Zvi. His name is Zvi? You won't believe it. I'm reading a book by the title of Zvi, you know? So I make arrangements. So that door had moved. I went down to another area off Telegraph. I walked in there. You know, here it is. I'm going to go and try to share with him. And so I read this book, and it had places of Israel and everything. And I asked the secretary to see this guy, and she led me in over him, and we renewed a conversation again. And I said, I'd like you to read this book. And I gave him the book, Zvi. Okay, here's this Hebrew guy. And so he took it, and we ended the conversation. And I don't know how long it was, maybe 2 months later, 3 months later, I don't know. I'm driving up Telegraph, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Right then, when I'm driving up Telegraph, he says, I want you to go see Zvi. Lord, you know, why now? Why right now? You know, I got things to do. So I said, okay, turn the thing and go this way. Go west. And I come over there, and I see his car parked there where it's got a Hebrew on the back of this license plate. And I said, well, he's apparently in. I go in there, and apparently the secretary's told me he's planning for a wedding of his daughter, okay, and everything. And I said, well, maybe now's a bad time. But I asked him, and she said, oh, go back. I go back. I go back, and I see him, and you know what he is? He's reading Zvi, The Next Generation. He told me that he went through the book Zvi, and the gospel is given so plain in that book by a Jewish believer who went through the Holocaust, right? And he ordered the second book, Zvi, The Next Generation. When I came, he was reading the book. You talk about timing, huh? Can God lead you and I directly? I believe he can. So we had some more of the conversation. Now, I moved away from there. I don't know where Zvi is today, but I believe that God has given that man the gospel. Maybe he's trusted in Christ as his own Messiah, right? So God can lead us directly. So, but listen for his call. He summoned them. Listen, remember Mary? Martha, when he came back from to see Lazarus risen from the dead, he called for Mary, and Martha went to see him. The master calls for you, and Mary got up. She didn't go to see him until he called for her. Isn't that interesting? She had spent time at the Lord's feet, though. Remember, just listening like a little bird for his words, and he called for her. She came. Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go down this road. Listen, if we sat and we listened, God will point us in the direction we can go. He'll call us. He will summon us, and just like he sent these apostles, he will send us as well. Now, the word for send here in this passage is apostello, from which we get our apostle. It's to go to be sent with credentials. They were sent with a mission. They were sent to preach and to heal and to cast out demons. But they were sent, and notice also, this was word of apostle was used, apostello was used of government officials sent on a journey. And I want to tell you this, though there are no more apostles of Christ, the New Testament also listed other men as apostles. Barnabas is an apostle, Timothy is listed as apostle, but they were not apostles of Jesus Christ. They were called apostles of the church. They were sent out by the church. And we have those apostles today that are sent out by the church. We call them by their Latin name, missio, send ones called missionaries. Okay, that's what we call them today. They're sent out by the church today. But it's amazing. Sometimes when these people go as missionaries, they go to other lands where the gospel hasn't been preached, you'll see some amazing things that happen in those areas because God will verify the word that they're speaking. The apostles of Christ, they had to see the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they were granted miracles to be done. So that the shadow of Peter passing a person, they were healed by the shadow of Peter passing a person. And the apostle Paul was a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they brought handkerchiefs from his body, and the people who touched those handkerchiefs, they were healed. Amazing. Jesus Christ gave power and authority to 70 others later on, but it was a temporary thing. The apostles, though, throughout their lifetime, these miracles were performed, and they were the ones in the early church when there was the disputation over doctrine. The early believers were to follow the apostles' doctrine. These are the ones you follow because why? Because they're the ones that the Lord placed his blessing on, his power and authority, and said, listen to them. And isn't it amazing when you come to think of it, how great is Jesus? He not only had power and authority, but he had the ability to grant it to others. Another verification that he was God. You see, there wasn't a person in the Old Testament that ever had the authority to grant power, not only authority, but power to others, but Jesus granted it to 12 men here, and then later to 70 men. Who grants authority and grants power to go along with it? Only Jesus. Only God can do that. Well, he summoned them, he sent them out, and listen, in God's plan, it's important as well that we be ready and willing to go. These men went. And how important, and write that down, it's be ready and willing to go. Just like Isaiah, we just don't go, just go, we go to proclaim a message like they proclaimed. And we'll look at that a little bit more in a little bit. But first of all, his plan, and then his provision. What was his provision for these men? Well, spiritually, he gave them authority and power. Authority is that word exousia. It's the right. It's just like a policeman today. Policemen today, because of the virtue of their office, their badge, when their red lights are flashing, you had better pull over. They've got authority to back out that badge, what they tell you. And the same thing with these apostles, they were given authority. They were given authority over every demonic power. Those are angelic beings, but the disciples were given authority. And not only authority, but the dunamis, the power behind that. When they told a demon to leave the body, that demon was hurled out of that body. I don't know the mechanism by which it worked. We can't see that. But invisibly, we don't know if an angel all of a sudden came and took that demon and just hurled him out of that body. But when they cast out that demon tumbled as they were rolling away. When they said it, be gone, that demon was gone. These are the apostles, ordinary men, not a man with degree among them. Well, Jesus provided for them spiritually. He gave them the authority and he gave them the ability. The ability, I said, was to cast out demons. They were to heal every disease that they came across. And Jesus said in Matthew also to raise the dead. Now, you know that Peter later on, do you remember? He raised Dorcas from the dead. And Paul, remember when Eutychus fell from the story and the Eutychus was lying there dead? The Apostle Paul raised him back to life. Wow. So Jesus provided for these men as they were going out. He provided for them the authority and the ability. But you know what? It's not Jesus, his signs and his wonders that he did, and the apostles as well. The Jews were wanting him to perform some sign in heaven. Change the night to day. Have the sun go backwards. Do something spectacular in the sky. More than one occasion. Show us some sign in heaven that you are the Messiah. Jesus said no sign like that's going to be given, except the sign of Jonas. But Jesus performed all these wonders, these miracles, and everything that God did was as a result of compassion. He felt sorry for people. That's why he cast out the demons. He healed them because he had compassion. And these disciples, they were to also use these to manifest compassion toward other people. By application, let's just say this. You and I have got the Holy Spirit within us today. We pray for people to be healed. And I believe that with the Holy Spirit in us, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We've got authority, not like the authority the apostles had, but we've got authority. But you know what authority we have is to serve others, to have compassion on other people. And the greatest way we can have compassion on other people is to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can pray for people to be healed, and we do it all the time. But how we ought to share the gospel and proclaim that salvation? Well, I want you to write down, though, how important it is for us to manifest compassion. It's important for us to share, spend time with Jesus, to listen for his call, to be ready and willing to go, and then how important it is to manifest compassion, okay, just like the apostles did here. And then he not only provided for them spiritually, but provided for them physically. Notice they were not to take anything extra. They could take a walking staff, but oftentimes people took another walking staff in that time, and they carried a sack in that walking staff behind them. But Jesus said, don't take anything extra. And they were to take no bag. Now, they were not to take any bread, so they were not taking any food along with them. There was a bag that was called a beggar's bag. And oftentimes, some of these Jewish itinerants who went around and from other religions and Roman religions too, and they would beg, and they would put money in this bag. And Jesus said, none of that. We're not doing any of that in this ministry. But as he sent them on the short-term missions, he sent them out two by two. The apostles are listed in two by two. Simon and Andrew, Peter and Andrew, James and John. Two that went together, Matthew and Thomas went together. Two by two he sent them out. And that shows us, even in missionary endeavor today, how we ought to go out with support and have not be lone rangers on the field. But he was going to provide everything that they needed. And you know what, though? I want you to take your Bibles now to turn to Luke chapter 22. Would you just look at Luke chapter 22 briefly? You know what? I'm not going to finish the message today. Shucks. I think I just have to wrap it up a little bit early here, but Luke chapter 22, look at it, verse 35 now. This is before he's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to go to the cross now, just before he goes to the cross. But in verse 35, chapter 22, he says to them, to his disciples, his apostles there, "When I sent you without a money bag, a knapsack and sandals, a second pair of sandals, did you lack anything?" What'd they say? "Nothing." And he said to them, "But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this is which is written must still be accomplished in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." So they said, "Look, Lord, look, here are two swords," and he said, "It is enough." But Jesus changed it now, and that's the way it is with the missionary endeavor today. When we go out now, it's not to say that we only take our shoes and only what we have. No, we can plan ahead. The times has changed. Jesus was teaching these men dependence upon him. And that's the next point I just want to have you write down for all of us. How important it is to learn to live dependently. When we went to Erie and Jaya, Nancy and I and our four daughters, we had 12 duffel bags with us. We planned and we went 12 military duffel bags with us. Had to haul them, get on the plane. They were, and you say, "Well, that has a lot of stuff to haul around with you." But listen, we're a family of six. We're going to be over there a year's time. And missionaries do the same thing. They plan. But when we got over there, we still had to depend upon the Lord because we didn't have any way of getting around. But wouldn't you know, we were provided two other motorcycles when we were there. It was wonderful, the provisions that were made for us. We were provided a place to stay when we were there. But Jesus wanted these early apostles, as they went out, to learn to live dependently upon him, upon the Lord. I want to say that that even holds true today. You know, when we went to seminary, we learned that. I remember one time when I was in seminary, I opened up my, maybe I told some of you, I opened up my lunchbox, and I bit into my sandwich, and it was a butter sandwich. You know, I go, "Butter, oh man, how delightful this sandwich was today, right? Not a peanut butter and jelly, for crying out loud. We didn't have any peanut butter. We didn't have any jelly. All we had is butter, okay? But the Lord provided for us during those seminary years. One time I remember in seminary, we couldn't afford health insurance. It was just not, that was not within our budget, okay? We lived in a mobile home. We got a wood-burning stove, and I went out and cut wood, you know, so we could burn to cut down those expenses, right? But I remember one time kind of doing the books at the end of the year, and I found out that entire year with four children now, okay? No, excuse me, three children. I said four, not at seminary. We just had three children. But the entire medical bills for the entire year was $6, you know? Isn't it amazing? God can watch over and he can protect you when you do not have what you think you might. You don't have the luxury to afford it. God can protect and provide for you. You're in the ministry and God wants you to learn to live dependently upon him. Well, we're going to stop right there for today. I think we're only about halfway. We're just going to have to finish it up there next time. But let's just look to the Lord and close in prayer. And ask for his guidance as we go from here, okay? Our Heavenly Father, now even as we look at what these apostles, the way they were prepared, and then the way they were sent on this missionary trip, Lord, this missionary journey, now they had a new lifestyle. It was no longer the same anymore. And I pray for us, Lord, that we would realize that you have a plan for us. And Father, you want us to go out and live as these apostles lived in that. You want us to bring out the message to others. You want us to be have compassion on other people. You want us to wait for you and to wait for your call. And you want us, Lord, to live dependently upon you. We thank you for the scriptures and the way they enlighten our footsteps, Lord. Help us even to walk in that path that you foreordained for us, for that this church might grow, that the neighborhood might see and understand more of the gospel, and that Jesus Christ might be glorified in it all. And it's his name we pray. Amen.